Time for Money News on this Wednesday morning, March 27. Shane Oliver is with us from AMP, Chief Economist. Shane, good morning to you.
Good morning, Luke.
Interesting day yesterday. I'm going okay. The market took a little back step yesterday. I guess it's very hard to continue to perform when you're reaching record highs all the time. We'll talk about that in just a second. Sure. I read something really interesting, and I wanted to share it with you. Or actually, you probably already knew it, being Shane Oliver. But I read yesterday that the percentage of cash transactions at the moment in Australia is down around 13%. 13% of all transactions, cash. Gee whiz, that's low. And then I read in the same article that there's more cash in circulation than ever before. But a lot of it is 50s and 100s. Shane Oliver, what do you make of this?
Well, it sounds odd, doesn't it? Although there is a logical explanation there. What's happening is that more and more Australians, you know, as new, younger people come into the economy, they're happy with digital transactions. So they don't want to bother with the cash. They'll do everything online. And consequently, the share of cash being used is going down. But there's also a significant bunch of people who are worried about the reliability of the computer networks that drive the digital systems. People sometimes incline, the sort of people who go off to the hills with baked beans, can of baked beans and a gun.
And a gun.
And they're sort of thinking, well, I've got to have some cash under the bed or somewhere in case my bank goes kaput or there's some cyber activity that nicks off with the money I've got in my account.
You can't put it under the bed, Shane. That's where the communists are. You and I know that.
The communists are, yes. Malcolm Fraser told us
that's
that.
Exactly right.
In 1983, I think it was. No, actually, Bob Hawke said it in response to a comment that Fraser had said, you'd better put your money under the bed because Labor will come for it. And Hawke had said, you can't do that. The commies will take it. But anyway.
I had to throw that line in when you said that. Anyway, keep going.
It was a good line. But I think we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. If you go back 15 years ago, cash was used in about 70% of transactions. Now it's down to just less than 10%. So massive reduction there. But then you've got this bunch of people who want to keep cash. They don't want the small notes, $10, $20, $5. They want the big ones because, mm-hmm. for obvious reasons, it's easier to store. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the demand for $100 and $50 has gone up. There might also be a bit of nefarious activity there. The cash economy is alive and well for some who don't want to be paid digitally because then it goes to the tax office. You get paid in cash. That's not an issue. So that is still out there, which confuses the picture a little bit and makes life tough for, say, the RBA, who's still got to keep putting the cash out there, but they're not using it in transactions. And, of course, it also makes it tough for companies like Armaguard, who are really
struggling. They're in trouble. The Lindsay Fox Armaguard, they're in big trouble. They actually merged with their competition about a year ago, but it's still not working.
Yeah, a company called, I'm going to mispronounce this, Prosecure or something like this. You sometimes see the trucks around with that on the side of them. Otherwise, it's Armaguard. They merged, but it's still not working. I think there was a deal or some sort of plan hatched by the banks and some major retailers last week to try and keep them afloat. But it is a difficult one because not as much money is required in ATMs these days and merchants are not using it as much. Yes, people are stashing it away under their beds or wherever it's going, but it's not being moved around as much. So therefore, there's less work. For Armaguard. Now, the problem is, as someone pointed out here, Australia is a very spread out country and you're still going to need cash out back in Australia and elsewhere, albeit at a lower level. But obviously, if there's less cash being required out there for transactions, it massively increases the cost of running these operations that Armaguard has to move that cash around. So it presents a challenge for Armaguard and for the banks generally who want to provide that service still but are finding it increasingly uneconomic to do so.
I've been reading online people talking about some cash protest day coming up on April 2nd where they're encouraging everybody to go to an ATM and take their cash out. Have you heard of this?
Look, I haven't heard of it. I can imagine some people getting motivated to do that. But
all right, well,
I reckon a lot of young people are just going to say, "Oh, ho hum, you know, why would I want to do that?"
Okay,
you've got to be crazy.
All right.
The other thing that a lot of people have said, well, if I have cash, then it's I've got a much bigger risk of getting robbed. If my wallet just has a bunch of cards in there, you can nick off with the cards, causes me a disruption.
But I can cancel.
But I can just cancel them all.
Yeah, if you've got cash, it could be stolen. And it's a really interesting thing, isn't it? 13%. Cash represents 13% of transactions now. It's unbelievable. And yet we have records about cash in circulation. Shane Oliver, I did want to talk to you about this. The Coalition. They've got a plan to let first-time home buyers use their superannuation for a home deposit. Can you please explain to me, we are running out of time, but can you explain to me, is this a good idea or not?
Look, I don't think it is. I think any idea which just pumps more cash into home buyers just puts up property prices. So you might get a short-term boost and someone says, oh, I got some extra money now, I can get a deposit together. But at the end of the day, unless you're quick, you're going to find that house prices will just go up by that amount, and so there's no real benefit. That's not going to solve the housing problem. The other problem is, and I think someone did a study on this, the bulk of the people who would access to that money are actually higher income earners, not lower income earners, because they're the ones with the superannuation balances. So I don't think it's going to help those who really need it. It just will result in more expensive property. The solution has to be getting more supply out there or limiting population growth in some way.
All right. But look, we'll probably give that one a bit more time when time permits, because it's very interesting. But you think, no, not a good idea. I appreciate that. The markets down a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, certainly down a little bit. We saw that fantastic day on Monday, up 40 points almost, getting to a new record high. But yesterday, we gave up a big chunk of that, about three quarters of that, down 32 points or 0.4%, 7,780 on the index. Still pretty high levels, though. But I think what happens here is that when people read about record levels, they think, geez, I've had a pretty good gain here on my holding of shares. Maybe I'll take some profit, and you get a bit of selling. So that's sort of why we're getting these choppy days. Materials, much of the market was down. Materials were down. I think BHP was the biggest contributor to the fall, with a slight fall in the iron ore price, not a big one, still above its recent lows. But pretty much broad-based falls, except in energy stocks, which are up 0.5% on higher oil prices.
All right, Shane. Thank you so much for that. Our last one before the Easter break tomorrow. So God knows what we'll talk about, but there's always something, Shane, isn't there? There's always something.
There's certainly something. And today, of course, at 11:30 this morning, we get the CPI numbers for February. So
that's right.
We'll have a little bit of a chat about that tomorrow morning.
Good on you, Shane. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Luke.
Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP and Money News, here on The Night Shift on Triple M.